At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Now, usually people say it's not fair to judge others based off their worst moments in life.
Do you feel like you're overrated?
No. See, I shouldn't even be answering these questions. I feel like these motherfuckers are just trying to sabotage my character and not be aware of what I'm doing.
However, that's exactly what we're going to do today. Whether it's because of rude questions during interviews, bad podcast etiquette, or straight up out-of-pocket behavior, certain media personalities in hip-hop have generated an impressive amount of hate throughout the years. But if we had to put them all head-to-head, who would be considered the worst of the worst? To answer that question, we're taking some of the most popular journalists in hip-hop, looking at their histories, behaviors, and actions, and comparing them to determine who takes the crown for the most hated media personality in hip-hop. So, without further ado, let's get into it.
I wanted to slap you in your face. I'm just seeing you here, so I'm like, this is a tame environment, so I would keep it to my word.
Our first contestant in the hate race is DJ Academics. Livingston George Allen, aka Academics, was born on May 17th in 1991 in Spanish Town, Jamaica, and immigrated to the U.S. when he was 10 years old. He spent the rest of his childhood in New Jersey, eventually attending college at Rutgers and launching his first YouTube channel, DJ Academics, while a student. Through his channel's success and the success of other adjacent channels, he landed a seat as the co-host of Everyday Struggle with Joe Budden, which for its short run was one of the biggest and most successful hip-hop talk shows ever. Now, at this time, Ak hadn't fully developed his aggressive on-camera personality yet, but there were still a lot of things about him that got under people's skin. The first big thing being one of those adjacent channels I mentioned earlier, The War in Chi-Raq. This channel was dedicated to documenting the gang activity and violence that was running rampant in Chicago at the time.
The savages in Chi-Raq, okay, they're determined to smoke on a pack a day because we all know a pack a day keeps the ops away.
This was the first of Academics' actions that not only made Chicago turn against him, but a lot of hip-hop as well. Ak being an outsider in Chicago and the gang culture, mixed with the fact that the angle he took with the videos pit rival gangs against each other, which only furthered tensions in the city, led to a lot of sour feelings towards Academics. And that was made evidently clear when Everyday Struggle featured Chicago artist Vic Mensa on the show, who viciously tore into Ak on camera, telling him he wanted to slap him in the face and outright calling him a bitch.
And I'm gonna tell you the truth, I really think you're a bitch. Because,
and what was that?
Now, getting called a bitch on camera is one thing. However, his reaction to the insult being as passive and meek as it was made him appear as if he had no backbone, which made it even more apparent that he shouldn't be speaking on the things that he speaks on. This was Ak's first major confrontation in front of a large audience, but it would be far from his last. Another super cringe moment from Ak's podcasting career was when he featured on the Fresh and Fit podcast back in 2022. Ak's emotional fragility was on full display when he got into a heated back and forth with one of the guest models on the show. The girl had a particularly deep voice, which Ak decided to poke fun at. However, when she responded by saying,
"Lose some weight until you can see your..."
Ak completely lost control. And rather than letting it go, keeping the banter light, or responding in any type of rational way, he resorted to puffing out his chest, flexing his flabby arms by telling the woman to shut the up, and continually ranted about his bank account and net worth. Peeping how insecure and fragile he looked in this pod, he literally made Myron Gaines look like a sane, rational person. I didn't even know that was possible until I saw this. It just all looks bad for Ak. Now, a bunch of embarrassing moments on camera are definitely hits to his reputation, but it doesn't hurt nearly as much as some of his out-of-the-studio antics. And boy, do we have quite the list of antics. There's honestly too many to list in this video, so we'll just hit a few highlights. Highlights like right after that Fresh and Fit recording, Ak being filmed in a Miami mall shouting and getting physical with his girlfriend. He repeatedly shouted at the top of his lungs, "I'm the prize," further drilling in the fact that he's deeply insecure at the core and overcompensates for his inadequate feelings every chance he gets. And it's very hard to believe that he would have that same type of energy towards a man in that situation, which was proved by Vic Mensa back in 2017 when he called him a bitch and he just sat there and took it. There's been a lot of strange things Ak has done since being in the spotlight, but one that definitely takes the cake is the time he tried to shamelessly from a 15-year-old kid on a live stream. Ack was in a private stream with the 15-year-old kid that was playing Fortnite when he started berating him about his sex life, asking if he would let a dude have sex with him, and asking if one of his friend's sisters threw him the box, would you smash? Despite the kid, by no surprise, being very uncomfortable, one of Ack's weird friends followed this whole thing up by asking for the kid's address, saying that he's gonna send strippers to his home. I don't know in what world they thought that was an acceptable thing to do, but that's just Ack and the company that he keeps. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Given all these variables, the embarrassing on-camera takes, the ego that shatters faster than glass, the verbal and physical violence towards women, and the literally to the definition contributing to the delinquency of a minor, we're going to give Ack a 9.5 out of 10. I want to give him a 10, but it's unfair to give the first contestant off rip a 10, and we've got some fierce competitors in the race.
So don't try to paint me like I'm some that you found on the street and I was up, I was homeless, and I was sleeping on your couch. I'm hiding detergent and all this. Like, what the fuck are you talking?
Next up on the list, we have, drum roll please, Joe Budden. Cool. Joe Budden. There is a time where every 2 to 3 months, like clockwork, his name would be trending on Twitter for the latest outrageous thing he said or did on camera. Joseph Anthony Budden was born on August 31st of 1980 in Harlem, New York. However, he spent a majority of his childhood in Jersey City. He gained buzz as a rapper in the early 2000s with freestyles and DJ Clue mixtapes. He signed to Def Jam and dropped Pump It Up in 2003, a club anthem that's still his most recognizable track. After hanging up his rap jersey in 2016, he dove headfirst into the podcasting game with a desire for creative freedom, unfiltered expression, and a path that'll lead him to a more financially secure future. And to give him credit, he's become one of the leading voices reporting in the hip-hop space, however, also one of the most problematic as well. His problematic on-camera persona seemed to first come into the light during his stint at Complex working at Everyday Struggle with the aforementioned DJ Academics. Exhibit A of this was Joe's seemingly ruthless and uncalled for aggression towards Lil Yachty. Joe unleashed a furious attack on the then 19-year-old star in the middle of the show due to him seemingly not knowing every detail in his contract with Atlanta-based label QC Records. Yachty was just there, chilling, having fun with his career and taking things in stride, while Joe Budden was irate, veins popping out of his head and on the verge of having a stroke on camera. And I'm not even mad at Joe for wanting better for these younger artists, but why he was taking it so personal is beyond me. I have no idea. Like Lil Yachty said,
chill.
Yeah, hold on. Yo.
Exhibit B of this was Joe going absolutely apeshit on a Complex employee. The writer named Angel Diaz was on the receiving end of a ruthless verbal assault from Joe due to him writing a piece related to the Joe Budden Drake beef and calling Joe a conspiracy theorist. Joe's completely sane and rational response to this criticism was to track down and berate Angel in the hallway of Complex on camera in front of his peers. And again, playing devil's advocate, it's not unreasonable for someone to be upset over negative press towards them. However, the way Joe handled it made him come across as unpredictable and unhinged. Exhibit C from the Everyday Struggle era was Joe's nasty habit of airing out personal behind-the-scenes details, especially involving finances, on camera. Towards the end of the Everyday Struggle run, Joe and Complex weren't exactly seeing eye to eye, creatively or financially. Joe overall felt like he deserved a lot more money and control than what he was getting. In response to this, Joe started openly criticizing his employer on camera, attacking them at every angle imaginable. It's safe to say that Joe and Complex won't be working together anytime soon. And you think he would learn after a nasty falling out and permanently burning a bridge with Complex. However, learning from his mistakes doesn't seem to be something that Joe does well. This again was put on display during the next era of Joe's podcasting career, the Joe Budden Podcast launch. The Joe Budden Podcast, or JBP for short, is Joe's now current platform to share his thoughts with the world alongside his friends. But like most fans remember, the hosts of the show now are not the original hosts that launched the show with Joe. The founding members were Joe, Rory Farrell, and Marissa Mendez, who would leave in 2016 and be replaced with Jamil Maul Clay. Joe, Rory, and Maul went on a generational run over the next 4 years, becoming a household name in hip-hop and arguably the most tuned into podcast in the space. However, like most things in Joe's life, it all came crashing down in a public, dramatic fashion. Rory and Maul allegedly had a profit-sharing agreement with Joe and the JBP. This would mean that the more money the pod makes, the more money they would make. When Rory and Maul asked to see the books to confirm how much they should earn, they were met with a wall of hostility and defensiveness from Joe. This led to Rory and Maul requesting an audit, which Joe took personal offense to, which ended up being the beginning of the end for them. Maul publicly accused Joe of treating them like employees instead of partners, saying that Joe would make big business decisions without their input and overall felt the work that they put in wasn't being valued at all. All of these issues led to Rory and Maul going on strike for a few weeks, then coming back and recording some of the most god-awful podcasts ever seen in history. Not too long after, Joe reached his breaking point with Rory, firing him on air in the most hostile fashion ever witnessed in hip-hop history. And Rory wasn't actually there the day of his firing, so Joe resorted to pointing at his empty chair to deliver the news on air that he was fired. Wicked stuff. Maul saw this event as the last straw and exited the situation with Rory, founding the new Rory and Maul podcast, which still runs strong to this day. This situation again highlighted Joe's disrespect towards his quote-unquote friends and business partners, also his belittling attitude and egotistical behavior. All these events combined also mixed with a slew of outside-the-studio controversies, including a domestic violence case against his girlfriend in 2014, his alleged harassment of women that worked under his network, recent allegations that he was involved in Diddy's freak-offs, and him being charged for lewdness for allegedly standing naked in his apartment complex hallway, overall makes him a very hateable person. Given all these facts, we're going to give Joe a 9 out of 10 on the journalist hate scale. Not as high as Ack, but he's a fierce, fierce competitor.
Stop talking.
I'm a podcaster. Why the fuck would I stop talking?
Stop talking. That's your problem.
Why would I stop talking when I'm a podcaster?
A third contestant of the day is none other than Adam22. And man, oh man, we got a long list with this one. Adam Graham Mason was born on November 24th in 1983 in Nashua, New Hampshire. He got his start in the media space by running a BMX blog called The Come Up in the mid-2000s, which later led to him opening a bike store called Awesome on Melrose Ave in LA and launching the No Jumper podcast in the back of the store in 2015. No Jumper was at one point the hottest and most desirable hip-hop platform to get on, but at this point fell off massively, mainly as a result of Adam's controversies, which we're about to dive right into. Adam's questionable past came into light in 2018 when two women accused him of SA. One allegation from a woman only referred to as D stated that when she was 16, he began a relationship with her and later claimed that he abused and doxxed her. On top of that, there's blog posts by Adam in which he wrote things alluding to the fact that he was into minors. One line was, quote, "She was 16, but come on, man, look at her. If statutory is wrong, I don't want to be right." And that's how he got the nickname Adam16 online. This was a major turning point in how people perceived Adam, so much so that his major business partner Atlantic Records severed ties with No Jumper, citing that the situation made things uncomfortable for the label. The next reason people hate Adam 22 with a passion is due to his perceived exploitative nature. Adam and No Jumper have a dark history of misleading and mistreating guests and employees of the platform. In a Rolling Stone expose, one of the women who accused Adam of SA claimed that she was asked multiple times to participate in a scene with him and his wife Lena the Plug. When she declined, she was treated horribly by Adam and taken advantage of by No Jumper, with the platform selling merch with her likeness with zero compensation to her. Other guests have claimed that they were misled about what a No Jumper appearance would entail, like thinking it was just a music interview show, just to later on be asked for sexual favors. And that's a rude awakening for someone just looking to promote an album. For the employees of No Jumper, several of them have made statements about how the company has toxic work culture, including things like being pressured to provoke drama and having internal conflicts being encouraged for content. Adam was out here treating everyone in his vicinity as poorly as they would allow, leading lots of people to view him as careless, narcissistic, and manipulative. More examples of Adam's careless personality is how foul he did one of his longtime hosts and friends, Lil Housephone. No Jumper had done a podcast with a transgender guest named Gracie Jane, who during the pod described a sexual encounter she had with Housephone. Housephone repeatedly asked Adam to edit that part out of the pod, which Adam said that he would tell the editors to do. However, when it aired, That part was still in the episode. This outing led to a sit-down confrontation between Adam and House Phone on camera, where Adam's continued insensitivity and defensiveness mixed with a comment about how he paid for House Phone's mom's funeral led to House Phone to throw a drink at Adam and attempt to fight him on camera. And this has been the common theme with Adam. Whether intentional or not, he does something foul, then digs his heels in, then gaslights the person that he did dirty. All these events cause people to see him as a manipulative person who only cares about his bottom line and is willing to use anyone and everyone to get to his personal goals. Loyalty and respect aren't words in Adam's book. So with Adam, we have the gross mistreatment of employees and guests, SA allegations, a culture vulture attitude, a toxic work culture, zero sense of loyalty, and the whole like Lena cuck thing, which isn't really like rude or foul, but it's just like a what are you doing type thing. It's just weird. We're gonna have to tie Adam up with academics. 9.5 out of 10 on the hate scale. That may be generous though. We'll revisit the rankings later because Adam did a lot. He did a lot. Now, there's definitely a lot more journalists we can get into, but unfortunately, that would make this video way too long. So I just wanted to list a few honorable mentions real quick. First being Charlamagne Tha God, whose abrasive, confrontational style of interviewing has drawn lots of praise and attention, but equally as much hate and disdain. This style, along with some crazy out-of-pocket statements towards guests like Logic and Post Malone, mixed with the fact that people with real controversies and serious unaddressed allegations Charlamagne did not push against, that earned Charlamagne a good 7 out of 10 on the hate scale, I would say. That's comfortable. The second being DJ Vlad, the owner of Vlad TV. Repeated moments of him asking incriminating questions towards his guests and hyperfixating on controversy, along with constantly interrupting his guests in the most annoying way imaginable, has made him a solid mention. I would place him somewhere in the middle high ground, probably like a 6 out of 10, but some people would honestly say he's a 10 out of 10. It really just depends who you ask. Last honorable mention on the list has to be Ebro Darden, aka Old Man Ebro. Ebro is notorious for essentially being a hater. His dismissive attitude towards younger rappers and new variations of hip-hop creates a harsh, hostile environment for upcoming artists. This, mixed with his outspoken, controversial takes and his reputation to gatekeep resources from newer artists, would place him on the list as a 7 out of 10 as well. So, if we had to go from least to most hated, we got DJ Vlad in 4th, we got Charlamagne and Ebro tied for 3rd, we have Joe Budden in 2nd, and Adam 22 and Academics tied for 1st place. But just for fun, if we had to break the tie because of the sheer number of people he's done dirty and him being a professional cuck, I would give the final crown to Adam 22 as the most hated journalist in hip-hop. Thank you for watching. Let me know if you agree with the rankings or if you'd rank them differently. And next time we might flip the script and do the most beloved journalist. There's a lot of people out here doing good too. So that's it. Stay tuned. More rap lore on the way.